Hey, your phone.
Representative Poe to be on time here.
He was?
In a fast over there, Phil. Oh, he was. Oh, okay. Is he here? Where is he? Well, Representative Hodge, you want to start then with House File 1168?
I certainly will.
You go ahead.
Thank you.
Our youth fills up today, so we care about kids. Oh, Representative Moe is here, so we'll let Representative Moe start then. He's all set up there. Representative Moe moves that House File 1352 be recommended to pass and held over for possible inclusion in our omnibus higher education workforce development bill. Representative Moe, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I have the great pleasure of carrying the Boys and Girls Club bill this year for a statewide program for job skills development. Currently, there are a variety of applications that the Boys and Girls Club use this program for, and in particular in my district, Bemidji, Deer River, Cass Lake, and Onigam. And just 1 minute plug for the Boys and Girls Club. Those of you, I'm sure everybody's heard of it, but the district I represent, in particular Bemidji, Deer River, Cass Lake, and Onigam, there is poverty, homelessness, drug-related crime. Is the problems that my friend Joe Mullery would see in North Minneapolis, we have at home as well. And there is nothing that is more effective at reaching out to kids, providing them with positive structure, educational opportunities, and job training, job awareness than the Boys and Girls Club. It's the best thing that we have going for our kids in Bemidji, Cass Lake, Deer River, and Onigam. And I am very honored to be here with Lenore Potter, who has been with our project in Bemidji from the ground floor. So I'll turn it over to Lenore.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Potter, is it?
Lenore Potter, well, the Executive Director of the Boys and Girls Club.
Can I just interrupt you for a second? Because I would like the members to know that I believe Mr. Gelman or Mr. Berg, one of the two, put a nice history of the different youth employment programs that have been in place about 15 years. Did you do this, Mr. Gelman? Did you help, Mr. Burke?
No.
Oh, well, good job, Jeff. Anyway, you can see the history here, and basically I think how our youth have been shortchanged by both the feds and the state. So I'm glad to see a number of these bills here today and just hoping we can find a way to fund them. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lenore.
The Minnesota Alliance of the Boys and Girls Clubs has touched the lives of 8,500 youth thanks to the generosity of the state of Minnesota's Workforce Development Initiative. We have four nationally acclaimed programs, one of which is Job Ready, that we implement in all the clubs across the state. And as you know, we range from Rochester up to Red Lake. And we implement programs such as Smart Move, Job Ready, Career Launch, and Goals for Growth. And we want to thank you for helping build a better workforce for the future through these programs with our youth ages 6 through 18. And now I'd like to introduce three youth that I have brought from Greater Minnesota, two from Bemidji, and one from St. Cloud, who will talk about the benefit of these different programs. Sarah.
Hello, my name is Sarah Schomburg, and I'm a fifth grade student in Bemidji. I've been a Boys and Girls Club member for 3.5 years. I'm here to talk to you about Goals for Growth. Goals for Growth is a program that I signed up for in December of last year. In our weekly class, I learned the benefit of setting goals. Each week, I set two or three personal goals, and Carl, a Boys and Girls Club staff member, would write them down, and we would make an agreement that I would try to succeed in doing my goal. Some of these goals were taking better care of my pet, improving my physical fitness, and improving my self-esteem. I had never thought before about setting personal goals. To take better care of my pet, I set a goal to play with it more. To improve my physical fitness, I set a goal to run 10 laps daily around the club gym. And to help my self-esteem, I set a goal that I was not allowed to put myself down. Setting goals was a good thing for me because it helped me learn ways to improve myself. Thank you.
Thank you. That was a very nice job. I'm going to set some goals for myself. Now you gave me an idea.
Is the 10 lap thing going to do it?
I've got a goal for you. Welcome.
Hi, my name is Zachary Garrison, and I'm in 8th grade from Bemidji, Minnesota.
You just take your time. Don't be nervous. We're all nervous here.
This January, I interviewed with the program director at the Boys and Girls Club to be accepted into career launch program. During the interview, I was asked several questions about my character. Being accepted into the program meant that I also became a junior volunteer. Since then, I have worked in the club with my own responsibilities and as an assistant to the staff members. At the front desk, I answer the phone, help parents and club members. In the computer lab, I work to keep the club members on task and by helping them with programs. I have learned how to answer the cell phone, properly and respond to people's questions and requests. We also have weekly meetings with the program director. In these meetings, we discuss both our volunteer status and cover career development. We plan setting goals and talking about how we are coming on our hours. We also take time to complete career interest surveys. In the next few weeks, we will be practicing applications and doing practice interviews. Thank you for listening.
Nice job. Thank you. And our final presenter.
Hi. My name is Tracy Lummel, and I'm from St. Cloud. Today, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. A secret I haven't told many people, because I didn't want to be labeled. In kindergarten, I was placed in specialized reading and writing classes, because I have a learning disability, as well as ADHD. I had problems concentrating, and I didn't understand things as fast as everyone else my age. Normal language arts classes were especially difficult. So as a part of my individual education plan, I was placed in specialized reading and writing class. Nobody knew of my special ed label, except for my family and teachers, because it made me feel like I was stupid. Luckily, that year I also proudly earned the label of becoming a Boys and Girls Club kid. Here, I didn't have to worry about labels. I could just concentrate on being a kid and having fun. Now, of course, 12 years later, I realized on how much being a club kid really means to me. The club staff have given me a number of responsibilities throughout my membership. For instance, I've been the president of the Roosevelt Service Keystone Club for 4 years now. I've organized and helped out with a number of service projects for my club and community through Keystone. I was also instrumental in pushing for the teen center at Roosevelt. The remodeled teen center has increased teen membership, and as a result, our Keystone Club is able to do more service in the community. The staff at the club has taught me the possibilities through the job readiness program they offer. Before career launch and job ready, I had no clue what I was interested in, let alone the steps were to getting a first job. But the staff encouraged me to explore different career choices and take different tours to workplaces in order to figure out what I could best use my talents and skills for. They showed me what to look for in different jobs and where to look for opportunities online and in the paper. They helped me fill out my first application, too. The Boys and Girls Club even gave me my first job opportunity as a junior staff member at Discovery Kids Staff. It taught me the importance and skills that will help me in my future career, such as interviewing skills, the importance of dressing appropriately, being on time, and accountable. Now, for the past 6 months, I have successfully secured employment at Target as a food service worker and a cashier, and I still help out as a junior staff at the Roosevelt Club. This brings me back to my secret label, special ed. How would I ever get past that label? I had a lot of life goals to achieve, but could I reach them with that label? The club staff helped me to believe that I could do anything. I worked very hard at school and at the club in education programs. The education coordinator worked with me on homework and other projects. Then, in December of 2005, I took my 3-year reevaluation testing. and showed that I no longer needed special education services. I was taken on special ed. The label had been lifted, and I'm doing great in my regular classes. In fact, last trimester, I earned the highest grade so far in my whole high school career. The club staff, my teachers and counselors, tell me that it's pretty rare for someone to get a special education program. But I firmly believe that I did it because I had so many people at the club who believe in me and my ability. My next goal is to graduate with honors in May and go to St. Catharines for the four-year RN program. Again, if it weren't for the club, I don't know if I would have set these goals. But they've shown me what my options are, and now I know I'm prepared for a successful future. I'm proud of my label. I'm a club kid. Thank you for your time.
What a wonderful job you did. You shouldn't, and you should go to be a doctor, not an RN, because I'm sure you're very capable.
Thank you.
You did a wonderful presentation. I think, you know, all of you did a great job, and you show the reason why we need to help our youth and why we should consider seriously funding some of these programs that are coming in front of us. Representative Moe, you want to wrap it up? I don't think you can beat that last presentation.
No.
So
I say it's going to hurt, not help right now. I just thank the committee for their time, and again, I'm very appreciative to have members of the Boys and Girls Club from St. Cloud of Bemidji make the trip all the way down here. It's the most important thing they can do for their club, so thanks a lot for making the trip.
Thank all of you. Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just too wanted to make some comments about the test fires, and thank you, Representative Moe, for allowing them to speak because they did just a wonderful job. And I usually work with young adults and adults, and they don't do as much career goal setting and career interest understanding and being able to have such a great motivation and great positive outlook on life. So I really do commend you for speaking up and for coming here, and it's kind of intimidating. So I really appreciate that you were able to do that and did just a fine job and represented your club as well. Thank you.
Well, Representative Poppy, we're representatives, and we aren't intimidating at all, are we, kids? I think we're pretty. Now, if you were in the Senate, and I see there is a former senator in the audience, then you would be intimidated because they wear wigs and robes over here. But anyway, thank you for coming. Next, Representative Hawes, House File 1168.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the committee.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to comment that Tracy Lummel was also, I believe, represented the Roosevelt Club as Youth of the Year Award. So I would congratulate her, and I'm glad to see her here today.
Thank you.
Wonderful job. Representative Hawes moves that House File 1168 be recommended to pass and held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Representative Hawes, welcome to the committee. You always are a pleasure to see everything.
Agree if you wish.
Thank you very much. I would like to move House File 1168 for inclusion, I believe, in our omnibus bill. Is that what we're going to be doing?
That's what you're going to be doing.
Thank you very much. It is my honor here to be carrying the workforce state program and for jobs and academics. And I have, in my lifetime of work since 1962, I have taken part in an alphabet soup of youth programs. And let me give you some of the initials. Some probably you have to go back a few years to figure out what they were. The CCC, which was still going when I was starting in the 60s, the NYC National Youth Corps, ZIP, JIP, OJT, CDBG, and HRA. Now that is an alphabet soup of pretty good programs, some better than others. The best program of that whole bunch would be the MYP, and that's the Minnesota Youth Program, and this is a state program. Many of those we used to just kind of take gum off the chairs and say, you know, 5 weeks of gum removing is good for you. I don't think it had long-lasting effects. But right now, the state program that you'll be looking at today and potentially funding has a work experience and an academic achievement activity. So it's a combination of those, and they learn an awful lot about themselves and about others and about their community and about their personal value. When I walked past my old city hall where I was park and rec director for 32 years, I look at adults that were once in these programs and now are now top echelon people. The assistant planning director came out of the program in St. Cloud. The top floriculturist at Munsinger and Clemens Gardens came out of the programs. Two of the tree trimmers that were way up in the 70-foot trees, they do so, and they are honorable, and they have had life-changing things. Why the state program? The state program covers 87 counties and 16 different workforce centers. And I do have some speakers today, and I hope they would hit on the number of relationships that they have within their workforces, because some of them encompass hundreds of schools. This program, ironically, has had a little trouble existing, and there is a handout, because we go back to 201 where we had 6 million, and then 6 million, and then 4 million, and then 4 million, and then 3 million, and then 3 million, and we're at zero in the governor's budget. What's the danger of that is that you're taking the powerful, most powerful, organized, auditable, recordable, traceable use of your dollars for your mission and zeroing it out. And you know that if that happens, I'm going to be back for St. Cloud next year. People are going to be in from New Ulm, they're going to be in from Hutchinson, they're going to be in from all those programs. And you're not going to have the security of a state program that has evolved to being mature, recordable, and doing the mission that it should be doing. With me today, I have speakers, and they've been told to be shorter than I am, which is not in height, but in talk time. And they are Jerry Vitzen from Anoka, and he will introduce himself, Barb Chafee from Central Minnesota Jobs Training, Marge Keith from Southeast Minnesota, Youth Program Sha'ong from Program Participant, and Norm Champ from Tree Trust. And they're just going to talk just a few minutes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Haas. Just introduce yourself, please, for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, my name is Jerry Vitzen, and I'm the Director of the Workforce Center in Anoka County. We're just here to, first of all, just give you an update on what the Minnesota Youth Program is and why we're asking for the resources we are. For those of you that aren't familiar, the program is income or special disability-based. It's required that you be from a low-income family in foster care, have some special disabilities, be a high school dropout, offender, a foster care child, or a person that is basic skills deficient. And really the objective is to give youth their first or early exposure to work, and it's done through work in the public and the private nonprofit sector. And the idea is to give kids exposure and at the same time work on career counseling and work on those academic skills during the summer months. The program is statewide. It's funded by a formula which is based on the number of youth in your area and the number of low-income kids in your area. So it gets statewide distribution. The program is operated through local elected officials and workforce boards in each of those areas, and so you get a good distribution and a local flavor to each of the programs, and they differ a little in each area. And we have a couple of individuals here from the southeast and from central Minnesota just to give you an idea of what things are like in their areas. But I just will mention what we're trying to do is get funding back to the level where we were in the late 90s. And you obviously, since then, we've had increases in cost to operate the program, probably more importantly, an increase in wages, the minimum wage, so we serve a lot fewer kids with much less money. In recent years, and that's the history that's in the handout that you have, the program has been funded, and the legislature has found it in their wisdom to keep the funds there, even though the governors recommend an elimination of funding, and the governor actually vetoed part of the funding 2 years ago, or actually 3 years ago. Again, we're asking for a level of support, $10 million, that would put us back to the levels that we were in the late 90s. Thank you.
Thank you. My name is Barb Chafee, and I'm the CEO for Central Minnesota Jobs and Training Services, which serves 11 counties in the central part of our state, and I'm also in Representative Todd's district. The Minnesota Youth Program is a successful, proven state youth program and serves at-risk youth across the state, as Jerry has said.
In Workforce Service Area 5, we have over 50 school districts and over 130 schools. We've built strong relationships with school counselors and principals across our 11 counties. In Minnesota, the MYP is the youth program of choice. In rural Minnesota, we are possibly the only youth vendor for serving youth, at-risk youth, at-risk youth population. We are asking you not to tear down the a proven successful youth program to rebuild another in its place. The relationships we have built have taken much time to build and are important across Minnesota. I wish to personally thank Representative Haas for authorizing this bill, and I hope that you support continue to support MYP.
Thank you. And the next testifier.
Hi, my name is Marge Keithy. I'm with Workforce Development Incorporated out of Southeast Minnesota. And being careful not to duplicate what the speakers before me have said, I would just like to share with you some of the things that we do in Southeast that might be a little bit different. We have a real strong healthcare initiative to help young people move into healthcare industries. We have a healthcare academy that's partially funded through our MYP dollars. You remember just a short time ago that the governor unallotted MYP late on a Friday night. Let me tell you a little bit about our struggle then over the weekend and Monday morning to try to compensate for that action. We had a lot of kids that were involved in partnerships between MYP and school credit. And so it meant for those kids on that February 7th that they were no longer going to have their work experience funded or their academic partnership funded, and that they would lose credit, lose academic credit, and no longer be eligible for graduation. So we spent hours trying to undo the damage of that action. That's the kind of thing that we do. We partner with school districts. We partner with young people who are out of school without a diploma and need to assess their skills and determine where to go next for that next level of training. So many of the young people that we work with are applied learners. They haven't done well in an academic environment. They're very visual. They're many times are technologically astute, but they need a different kind of learning environment. And so we're the person that works either with the school district or with the post-secondary education center to put together a training for that young person that's going to meet their needs, that's going to get them the training that they need, and prepare them for the workforce of the future. All of you know that we're facing a great tsunami. The retirement of the baby boomers is fast approaching, and we are short the entry-level worker. MYP is the program that funds the work experience to get young people engaged in training, engaged in employment when they have been turned off by other methods. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Keithy. And the last person, would you like to testify?
Yeah, my name is Jeff Strong. I just want to let everybody know I'm currently a program director for a small nonprofit called Youth Care. And, you know, they work a lot with the youth who are part of this MYP. I personally grew up at the tender age of 14 to 15, actually went through MYP working with Tree Trust and Boys and Girls Club through MYP during the summer. You know, I worked with, you know, doing landscaping 1 year when I was 14, where, you know, normally 14-year-olds my age normally rough in cities do other things, join gangs, do other things that, you know, that aren't productive. Me actually being reached out to at high school when I was 14, I feel blessed. You can kind of say it's a Cinderella story for me because of my experience growing up through MYP and then becoming a program director for a nonprofit. And I grew up through the Camp Sunrise, as a participant and as a MYP participant. So coming back, leading the organization, it's a blessing for me. Why we don't have funding for possibly we don't have funding for youth, who are 14, 15, very young, who need these skills to develop in the future. This summer boggles my mind because, I was given that opportunity and, a lot of people, they have programs put in place for people to make something of it. And, for people you know, youth out there in the Twin Cities or across Minnesota, you know, because this program is statewide, don't have that opportunity. It's kind of saddens me. So I just want to give the everybody an opportunity the way I had it. So
thank you. And up to Hans, did you have one more person, or is this complete? The test trials or somebody else?
Oh, look at all my notes here. Take a while.
You're dead if they are.
Go ahead and identify yourself for the record, please.
My name is Norm Champ. I'm director of the Tree Trust. Tree Trust is a nonprofit organization. We contract with various agencies, cities, and counties in the metro to do youth employment. We've been doing this for 30 years, and we've had about 28,000 youth come through the MYP program, one that you just heard from in the past. I testified before the Senate yesterday, and I called MYP the entry-level drug of workforce development. And that got some people's attention because I was mixing drugs and youth. But what I meant to say and what I'll continue to say is once you put a 14, 15-year-old in a job situation and they earn a check, they want another check. When they get that check, they want to continue that. They want their raise. When they're done with the program, they want another job. We've heard state demographers talk about the impending workforce shortage with the baby boomers retiring and everything else. With the MYP program, we're going to have about 10,000 youth statewide getting that entry-level drug, getting that check, getting job skills, having their own money, and being empowered by going to the mailbox and getting their check and putting it in their bank account. It's a great program. I urge your support. I just add that it's really the only program that's going to support 14 and 15-year-olds in jobs for the summer. Without your support, there will be no jobs for 14 and 15-year-olds across the state. Some people have said that the federal program will do that. The federal program is being rewritten and excluding 14, 15-year-olds. So MYP is just very crucial for the state. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Representative Hawes or testifiers? Representative Welty.
Thank you, Chairwoman Bobby. Representative Hawes, I just have one quick question for you. Does the federal government match any of the state allocations? Is there any match involved, or do we receive federal dollars no matter if the state invests?
I'm going to have somebody come down for specific answers for that, but these funding sources, both from the federal and the state, are kind of like a sine curve. I don't know how they emotionally can stay with the ups and downs of it, but it's not a very stable fund. But let's get an answer. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jerry Vitson from the Oak County Workforce Center. The Minnesota Youth Program originally started as kind of a tag-along to what was called the Federal Summer Youth Program. That's evolved. It's now called the Youth Workforce Investment Act Youth Program. And that program has gone in funding from $15.8 million in 94. That's actually what I have on the sheet here. It was more than that before, to about $8.46 this year. And you can see that it's been on a steady decline, similar to the MOIP program. What Representative Haas said was very true. What the federal government, at least the department, is proposing is that it be centered more towards high school dropouts and older kids and not to the younger kids, and that it not be centered on the summer program so much as a year-round program. So its importance becomes much more. And again, dramatic decreases in the funding historically with the cuts that have come from the federal level. It is not a match program. It's a separate program, but it mirrors the federal program. The state program is a little more broad in its eligibility, allowing us to serve some of the kids that the federal program does not. The federal program is very income-oriented, whereas this one is more disadvantaged, so that we can serve disabled kids, kids that are in foster care, kids that have other special needs, behind in school, those kinds of things.
All right, Representative Gunther.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Mr. Vitsum, how much does the federal government cut back on this program?
As I mentioned, from 1994 to 2006, about $7 million.
Per year
for Minnesota, about half of what we had there. And again, keep in mind, we've had minimum wage increases, so the cost of a job goes up as the minimum wages rise, even though the state has had some minimum wage rise, even though feds have not.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions?
Heather Rice. Representative Haas renews his motion that House File 1168 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. And Representative Clark, ready for House File 850? It's great to have all these young people here, isn't it? Representative Clark, you can just go ahead whenever you're ready. We'll first have you move.
Yes, I'd like to move that House File 850 be recommended to pass, I believe, inserted in the omnibus.
Okay, well, Representative Clark moves that House File 850 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Okay. Then go ahead and begin.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members, we've been hearing from some very fine youth programs today, and this is actually my favorite, although I think they're all terrific. What I want to tell you about the youth bill that's before you is that it's youth bill is a program that helps young people get actually really concrete skills in the building trades. And these are kids who have dropped out of school, and they're now back in school. And as a result of working with the youth build program, they're learning not only their regular school subjects, but they're learning some building trades. And they are very productive. If you look at this youth build program, you see not only do the kids stay in school and graduate something like 90%, and these are kids who've been in trouble, they've been out of school for one reason or another, but they also build housing. Last year they built, I believe it was 66 units of affordable housing, and if we were to translate that, you know, in my housing committee, we have to come up with a budget, you know, and figure out how to build housing. If we were to translate their labor and their work and the housing that they produce, I calculate even a very modest $100,000 a house, which would be a pretty darn good deal to get today, right? A house that cheap to be built. They would be contributing $6.6 million in affordable housing dollars to our state. And so that's a very modest way to talk about what this investment in these young people do. I think probably the most inspiring investments, you know, what they do with their own lives. So I'm going to turn this over to some of our providers, and we'll start with Mr. Alan Selesky, and I believe he's brought one of his students or a couple of them, and let him tell a little bit about the program. I just want to say that what we're doing with this bill is to restore the funding that was cut during the times of fiscal crisis to three youth build programs that were eliminated, and we are giving them an inflationary increase, which they have not had, and we're increasing the number of youth build programs throughout the state and making sure that we can reach more kids. So, Mr. Selesky, why don't you go forward?
Thank you. Just state your name, please.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Alan Selesky. I'm the Executive Director of Guadalupe Alternative Programs here in St. Paul. We have had a youth build program now for about 12 years, and it has been wildly successful over those 12 years. As Representative Clark was saying, we take at-risk students. We give them work opportunities in the building trades, so we're rehabbing inner-city housing. We are building new houses, but they're low-income houses. And our program is set up so that they are in academic classes half of the day, so they get their academic skills necessary, and then the other half of the day they're on the building site rehabbing. And the goal of the program is to get them a high school diploma, but more importantly, to get them the skills they will need to succeed over time. So it's the building trades and those that we can utilize the skills that they already have academically and build on those. Right now we have about 20 students in the program, and over time we would like to build that as this legislation is indicating, to include medical field, to include technology and some of those other fields that are expanding and blossoming over time. Right now, there are 10 sites across the state of Minnesota. We are just one of those sites, but they're spread out throughout the state. And there are actually, nationwide, there are a number of 226 programs. And all of those programs, I've experienced this over time, and they've been very successful. These are people that are really working with young people to ensure that they have employment and gainful employment after they graduate from high school. I brought two students with me. One is Chris Anderson, And believe me, I took them right from the job site, so that's why they look the way they do. But they are, and then Kaya Ortiz is also here to testify about what youth build is meant to them.
All right, thank you. Go ahead and.
Yes, I'm Chris Anderson from the youth build program. Yeah, this got to be one of the best things that I've been a part of. Like, before I started this, I used to be in, like, not so positive things. Went to like four or five different schools around St. Paul. This gap was the last option I had, and then I got into the carpentry trade, learned something new that I never thought I'd even be interested in. Then when I got started getting into learning new things, I started liking it for something I like to do, so I got into it more and more. And then I've been for like my second year, I'm into my last couple of weeks, graduated early. So if I wouldn't have been in this program, I probably don't even think I would be graduating on time. I'm graduating early now, so it's one of the best things that happened. So now got my own construction company started through this product, through what I learned from the youth build. And it's got to be one of the best things I've been a part of, probably one of the best programs out here that should keep going for years and years.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Go ahead, Ms. Ortiz.
Hi, I'm Kay Ortiz. And the youth build carpentry section too, and I just like to say that this is my last year of youth build too. I've been in there for 2 years now, and when I first started going to our school, the Guadalupe Alternative Program, every chance I got, I tried to sneak out. The school to me was boring, and I couldn't handle being there all day. And then I heard about the youth build program. And I started it, and my attendance is way better. I come to school every day. I show up on time. Youth Build has gave me a lot of skills that I'm probably going to use for the rest of my life. I mean, I learned every model of the inside of a house and from top to bottom. I have my family members are coming and calling me, oh, can you fix this? Do you know how to fix that? I've encouraged many of the other students. I mean, we just don't have 20 people who want to do youth build. There's like a big list, a big line for other students that want to do this, because I tell them, you know, if you don't want to be in school, you know, and you still want to graduate, why don't you come to school and be in youth build? I mean, and you get a little bit of sniper money, to, you know, why not get paid to go to school? And I think a lot of students took that into consideration because of the list we have for youth build. And I like youth build and I like the carpentry part because we do a lot of work in my community. I live on the west side of St. Paul. And it's nice to know that I'm not only helping, you know, myself and getting these skills from school, that we're also helping people in our community or in my community. And it's just something that makes you feel good. It's something that wants to keep you doing it, keeps you going. I think that this program is going to change a lot of the students that go to my school, and it should keep running, because I don't know what word would describe it, but the students should be able to have this chance, all these students, because it does make a difference and it does make you think different. And you learn these skills are gonna be with me for the rest of my life. And as being a woman in this trade, it gives other women to think too. Why not me? Why can't I? So thank you.
Thank you. Any other testifiers?
Yes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Ron Benson. I'm the Youth Build Instructor for Wabasha and Goodhue Counties, and it's definitely my pleasure to do so. I get to work with these young people on a daily basis, and so it's not only rewarding for me, and I certainly see the rewards that these young people bring to their communities, and it's very important that this continue. these young men and women come to school virtually every day in spite of a lot of personal struggles that they have. And we get an opportunity to teach not only building trade skills, we get to teach life skills. And they are so hungry to learn these things. But we need to be able to have the funds in order to continue to get the instruments, the tools we need, the curriculum, all of these things that, quite frankly, we would be missing and be without a program. I have one young man with me that is willing to just say a few words about what it means to him to be part of this program. Thank you.
Thank you. Just go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
Hello, I'm Jordan McCray, and Youth Build, for me, it's helped me stay out of trouble. And I don't want some new start coming in. Going to school, I wasn't going to school either, so they helped me start going back to school, and I ain't had no job experience, and they helped me with that. That's all I really got to say. I ain't been in it for nothing but a year, but since I've been here, it has helped me a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, and you
know. Madam Chairman, my name is Joyce Eisinger. I'm from the Carver Scott Educational Cooperative in Chaska, Minnesota. We are an alternative school. We do a lot of things in the two counties of Carver and Scott. We work with all the school districts in those two counties to provide all the alternative ed services. So for us, I'm trying to think of something that hasn't already been said. So in our situation, two things, really. One, housing, a shortage of housing is not an issue for us. We have had a housing boom in all of our communities in the last, I don't know how many years. I've been at my school since 1983, and we've had a youth bill program since, I think, maybe 1992, since the very beginning. And in that time, housing out there has just boomed. What we haven't had is a lot of affordable housing come into where we are. Chaska, Shakopee, Prior Lake, Waconia, all those districts and communities have housing everywhere you look. There's new housing, but most of it is not affordable. So for Youth Build, to work with our local HRAs in Scott County, to work with our county programs and provide housing that is affordable to our families is an important factor for us. Last year we had the situation of one of our Youth Build students actually living in one of the houses we built in the Prior Lake community. So one of the things that makes this program work for youth, and I think you've heard it over and over, is that it is real work. It isn't, you know, made up stuff. It's not practice for anything. We don't do any mock walls. We don't do any of that. We build real housing. And for an 18-year-old student to leave our program and leave behind an addition that they've added to their school, that's a pretty powerful thing. And it does get them in the door. It does keep them there every day. And it motivates them to get that diploma. Not all of our students go into construction when they complete our program. Most don't, I would say. But what the skills give them when they leave is that confidence that they need and some self-sufficiency skills that are going to really benefit them in the long run.
Thank you. Representative Clark, do you have someone else? Otherwise, I think we have some questions.
Yeah, we could go ahead and have some questions. I would like to just mention to folks, you should have the Youth Build Annual Report before you. And I would just call to your attention, the program has been around a few years now, and it does lay out its goals pretty clearly on page 3 and page 4, everything from, you know, work-based learning, community service, crime prevention, the educational basic skills, employability, leadership, and rebuilding communities and neighborhoods. I did want to just point out page 6 to say that whatever we invest in this project, and I really hope we can do what we're trying to do in this bill, which is restore the funding and expand it, this investment pays off the very first year. And you can see that on page 6. They did a very sophisticated cost analysis of what the investment in Youth Build provides, and I just wanted to call your attention to that.
Thank you. Representative Welpe, any questions?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is my question is actually for Ms. Ortiz and Mr. Anderson, if they could come back. I think by looking through the packet, I asked that my questions were answered because I've worked in the home construction trade as well, and I see that you learn everything from the framing to the trimming to drywalling to putting on the siding. So I think that's great because you're learning how to build a true home. My question is to you, first of all, number one, do they let you use power tools? Because I think they should be allowing you to do that, but the pictures, I'll show people holding hammers. And then my more important question beyond that is, are either of you pursuing or thinking about pursuing now training beyond high school when you graduate? Are you thinking about going into the trades and going through an apprenticeship program or going into a tech college to learn your skills?
I graduated in a couple of weeks. I'm starting at St. Paul Tech, and I already started my own construction business, A&W Construction, already.
It's great to hear. Ms. Ortiz?
Well, I haven't decided what I wanted to do yet, but I did earn an education award of $1,800 to go to whatever school I wanted to go to. And doing this, you know, the carpentry, you meet a lot of people and you get a lot of contacts. So if I were ever to want to join a job, like to do this, I know people that I could contact to get hired.
Madam Chair, I just want to commend the two of you for coming in front of this committee and testifying. Definitely participants in programs, especially like the two of you, can help sell a program. And I hope that at the end of the session we are able to appropriate some additional dollars to this program. And if that's the case, I hope the two of you can walk away from this feeling proud that you helped secure funding for future youth just like yourselves and help them do exactly what you did, which was go from a place and time where they were living unstable lives, didn't know what they wanted to do, and now I think both of you demonstrate that you're going to become successful adults.
Thank you, Representative Welty, and you're also speaking to Mr. McCray, I believe, as well.
Mr. McCray.
Thank you.
May I respond to the power tool question?
We know why they wouldn't let him.
There's legislators that should use power tools.
Thank you for asking that, because that is a very important issue. It's one of the reasons why this program is difficult to keep going and sustain, because we do need to keep current with what's happening in the industry. Kids do need to learn how to use power tools, and that costs money, because kids are hard on tools. As are adults, I mean, the construction industry just itself is hard on equipment, and we want them to be prepared when they leave us to have an entry-level position, and that does mean they need to use all those that equipment. Thank you.
Thank you. And, yes, to that point?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, just one more thing. I know there are a lot of youth programs that are here asking for funding today, and what I want to say is it's very important for us to have all kinds of tricks in our hat and rabbits in our hat that we can pull, because this doesn't always work for every student, but it really works for some students. I think it's very important to have a variety of programming so that we ensure that every student, every young person, especially at-risk young person, has something that they really connect with as far as programming.
Thank you. Representative Bly had a question.
Actually, just a comment. I've spent almost 25 years working in alternative education and had lots of opportunities to talk to other programs around the state, and this is one of the Youth Build is one of the programs that I think is one of the best things that emerges for alternative schools, and I always was envious that we didn't have something like this in my own community, and I wish it could be expanded, not just brought up to the funding that was there, and all of you are a great testament to the success of the program and the wonderful work it does, so thank you.
Thank you, Representative Reinhart.
May I just comment, Madam Chair?
Yes,
Representative Bly, as you notice, what we're trying to do is to expand this. So I think, if you have alternative schools in your area, and if we get the funding we request, you should be on the list. Make sure that you are.
Thank you. Representative Reinhart?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is for really any of the instructors. I wondered if you'd briefly describe your use of restorative justice in your programs.
Madam Chair, in our program, the Carver Scott Educational Cooperative, all of our staff have been trained in restorative practices. We do alternative programming in various locations throughout the two counties, and in all of our alternative high school and middle school programs, the staff has been trained in restorative practices. It's just integrated in all of them. We've been doing that for 3 or 4 years, I think.
Okay, and Representative Mull.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to
thank you all for coming down here. I represent Bemidji, and at Bi-County CAP, we have Youth Build program, which is just a fantastic opportunity for students who might not be in school, dropped out, or having trouble, just like you all described. They learn a carpentry, they learn the carpentry trade. Many of those students go on to be my students at Bemidji State University in construction management, or go on to Northwest Technical College. So I'm glad for you guys that you're going on to school. Congratulations. And specifically to our staff there, Ann McGill and Tina Sweat, you know, they're just fantastic, and I'm sure the commitment that you have to your program, too, is it's quite a testament to you. You know, you guys aren't always the easiest group of students to work with, you know. And the program directors, you know, they have a special talent to be able to talk to you and work with you. And that's really remarkable. We have single parents, too, in our program up there in high school. And if it weren't for Youth Build, they wouldn't be in school. And there's no question about it.
I think you bring up a really good point. That one of the things that's been so great about Youth Build is BICAP has a Youth Build program, and BICAP is not a school. Just because we are a school doesn't mean that Youth Build is awarded to all school districts. It goes to BICAP. It goes to some of the programs that you've heard earlier, like the workforce programs. So wherever the program is, they work with whoever they need. So if the program is at BICAP, they work with the local Area Learning Center program. We are the Area Learning Center, so we work with our county employment and training program. So we all get, you know, in the mix somehow.
Thank you. Yes. I don't know what your graduation rate from your program is, high school graduation rate, but at BICAP in Bemidji, it's 90%. Mm-hmm. Almost all these kids are graduating from high school.
Mm-hmm. And Representative Rukavina?
Well, Madam Chair, I can't remember. Representative Gunther, you're carrying the department's bill, right?
That's correct.
And having been the past chair, I know that there was a lot of pressure put on you, and your budget was hammered worse than any budget in state government, and I think you had to do a lot of things you really didn't want to do. I know, for instance, on the 21st Century Minimalist Fund, you didn't want to do what they did, and I appreciate that. But maybe, have you talked to the department or the governor at all? Why is he not funding any of our youth programs anymore, other than those two programs that are in the base out of workforce development?
I think the governor's been consistent in not funding Youth Build and a couple other programs. However, we always somehow found money to fund them to some level. And
you're going to find money for us this year?
You want me to help? Yeah, I'll certainly work on it. I will go see the governor and talk to him about that. Thank you. Good idea.
Does anybody from the department know why the governor zeroed those out? Or you guys had a rough day yesterday. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. You know. No?
Not that they're going to volunteer.
My name is Lynn Batsley, and I'm the legislative director at BEAD. And it's my understanding that the funding was one-time funding that Representative Gunther was able to find us last year. And it was a one-time funding, and it was it's over July 1 or June 30th, I guess. And that was how the decision was made, because it was one-time funding from the legislature.
But Madam Chair, Ms. Batsley, if I look at the history of it, since 1996, the Youth Build has been getting general fund money, $917,000, $700,000, $700,000, back up to $951,000 and $2,000, $2001, $902,000. So it's definitely been in the base for a decade. Representative Gunther, to his credit, saved it with Workforce Development Fund money the last 2 years, but it's just the governor has no interest in the program, or?
Madam Chair, Representative Rukavina, ever since I worked for the department, which is, I think, almost 15 years, we've been asked to make budget cuts every year. And for many years, we did a flat 3% cut across all programs. And the decision was made that if we have 60-plus programs, you're just whittling away at all the programs. And so the decision was made to eliminate the funding for Youth Build and for the Minnesota Youth Program, and that was our budget cut for that year. And the legislature did not agree with that cut, and so then they gave it the one-time funding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Gunther?
Mr. Chairman, I want to know one thing, that Representative Clark is a rather persuasive lobbyist, so I just want to make aware of that.
I call her one of my angels.
Thankfully to us.
Representative Clark renews her motion that House File 850 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And committee members. Thank you. We will move to House File 459. Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 459.
Thank you. Representative Mahoney moves that House File 459 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
I was trying to help my partner,
Nice
on the other side of the street.
Thank you very much. Representative Johnson, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As we get settled in here, I'm just going to make some introductory comments on this particular House file. What this bill does is appropriates money to Ramsey County for the Summer Employment At-Risk Youth Program. The 2000 U.S. Census estimated there's about 9,014 to 21-year-olds in Ramsey County living below the poverty line, which is about 15% of the age group in our county of Ramsey. And many of these, of course, are low-income at-risk youth who have fallen through the cracks. Now, Ramsey County would do is use this appropriation to help approximately 450 to 500 youth go through a needs assessment process, including a reading and math assessment. And reading and math instruction would be given to those who need it, along with providing summer employment. We have with us today to talk specifically about the program Patricia Brady, who's the program director, and also a couple of students who want to come and join us. We'll also talk to the program, so I'll turn it over to Patricia Brady.
Thank you. Welcome, Ms. Brady. Just if you would state your name and go ahead and testify.
Madam Chair, committee members, I am Patricia Brady, Director of Ramsey County Workforce Solutions, and I'd like to first say thank you to Representative Sheldon Johnson for chairing. This is a very important initiative for Ramsey County and for Ramsey County youth, and we certainly appreciate the investment in these youth, so I want to say thank you. And also thank you to this committee for providing us the opportunity to speak before you about this issue. So I'm going to be brief. And then we're going to invite the youth to talk to you as well. Ramsey County Workforce Solutions Summer Youth Program component for at-risk youth, as proposed, offers youth more than a summer job, but also a structured program that addresses their educational, career, and personal support needs over the long term. Our program is called Youth Lead. Although the vast majority of our service dollars are spent in the urban area, we also serve those suburbs that are surrounding St. Paul. As mentioned by Representative Johnson, in 2004, the American Community Survey estimated that nearly 15% of the then 14 to 21-year-olds in Ramsey County were living below the poverty line. This is the population that we serve with our professionally trained staff of career development facilitators. The centerpiece of our program is to support the whole youth by focusing with them on academic success, leadership development, and civic responsibility while meeting their needs for support services. We work with approximately 600 to 700 youth on a year-round basis, and it is a privilege for us to invest in these young people. Up until 2003, Workforce Solutions had operated a summer youth program where we served approximately 400 additional youth during the summer months. The purpose of that program was to find summer employment for these young people that gave them job experience with financial remuneration. Several years ago, the Youth Council, which is part of the Ramsey County Workforce Investment Board, that board is business-led and is appointed 50% 50% by the City of St. Paul and 50% by the Ramsey County Board of Commissioners. The Youth Council charged us to deliver, charged us with the directive of serving youth on a year-round basis rather than offering summer employment only. Their purpose was to reach youth with a more comprehensive approach. Our current plan for a summer component is to combine our year-round program, which we know to be effective, and our former summer program while remaining true to the ideal of serving the whole young person with specialized services. This funding request, if granted, would allow us to enroll approximately 400 to 500 new youth into our summer program component. During the summer, we would provide these youth with employment, quality supervision, educational opportunities, career-building skills, and assessment services. Math and reading would be specifically targeted since it's been demonstrated that youth lose some of their math and reading skills during the summer. Studies have shown that youth who participate in summer employment or summer school where those math and reading skills are utilized or encouraged retain more of what they've learned in the previous 9 months. Another area that we would intend to target would be for juvenile offenders. We have a wonderful record of working with ex-offender young people in another program that we have, and we would like to target these young people as well. In 2005, Ramsey County Juvenile Corrections served 5,755 young people. For some of these youth, participation in our year-round programming with a summer program component means that they'll be able to attain their high school diplomas, gain future employment, produce tax dollars, put some money in their pockets, and stay free from the possibility of incarceration. Additionally, we can expect community crime will not be increased on their account. We hope you will look favorably on this proposal for the comprehensiveness of its approach and for the greater good that it will achieve with the young people in our community. Ramsey County also supports the position being taken by the Minnesota Workforce Council Association on funding the Minnesota Youth Program. This is also a program that that we work under, and we also support the funding request that would be coming to you from the City of St. Paul. There is a huge need in our community for services for young people. Many of the young people go with their needs unmet on a year-to-year basis, and it's because the need is so great that we're also asking that you would see to a way to increase the funding, to grow the funds that are used to support these young people. Thank you for your consideration of these proposals and for your continued support of at-risk youth. And again, I'd like to thank Representative Johnson for his support.
Thank you, Ms. Brady. Then we have two students, and you can go ahead and introduce yourself, please.
I'm Justine Fair.
And then just go ahead and testify.
Okay. My name is Justine Fair. I'm with the Youth League Program, and I'm 17 years old, and I'm a senior at ALC, and I'll be graduating in 2007. And this Youth League Program has kept me focused on my goals, which was graduating. This program has also helped me obtain job skills and from being enrolled in internships and job search activities. I have had opportunity to work at Macy's, Sears, and interned at SPNN. I believe without the support of the Youth League program, this would have been very hard to accomplish. But now I have these skills and I can take them with me. I also had the opportunity to enroll in MCTC and I received my CNA certificate, although my goal for is to be in an advertising business. And I plan to attend Brown Institute in the upcoming school year.
Thank you. And the other testifier, please just state your name and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Sabathia Moore, and I've been working with the Higher Youth League program for 4 years now. And within that time, they've helped me to achieve several of my goals. In 2004, they helped me to return to high school, receive my high school diploma, and from there, they sent me to a course in which I received my nurse's assistant certificate and became registered with the state. And they've also been a safe and positive place for me to go when I had little to do. They enrolled me in their summer program and internship that not only paid me, but gave me the educational experience I would need to go on and start a future career. They've also been very good with working with all the kids during their I feel that at my age, with all the new expansions coming to Minnesota, that I would be a good investment because I am the future, and that this would be a very good program to keep going.
Absolutely. All right. Representative Mahoney.
Yeah.
Did you have a comment about that? Or about, did you? Were you
I think this is some of the best testimony I've heard here.
Yeah. I think
hope
so too.
We can support this bill.
I hope so too.
Thank you. Representative McFarland.
Yes, Madam Chair, and perhaps this is Ms. Brady. What percentage of the students are from the suburban Ramsey County?
I'm going to ask Terry Zern if he will. He is the manager of our program. I believe that it is about 20%, maybe 25%. 20% from the suburban area.
Okay. And then because I am a suburban Ramsey County legislator, this question is probably for Representative Johnson. I see the next bill has to do with St. Paul's summer employment, youth employment. Is there any coordination between these two, or... I'm concerned about suburban Ramsey County.
Sure, and we'll talk more about that. I think we'll answer that question with the next testimony.
Okay.
Thank you. Are there any other questions for this on this bill or for this? All right. Then Representative Mahoney renews his motion that House File 459 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Thank you for your testimony. And we'll move right along to House File 1020. And I'll just tell you that we've got... a couple other bills and people here to testify on a few more things. So if we can try and move it fairly quickly, that would be appreciated.
I would like to second your comments there and move the House File
1020. Representative Mahoney moves that House File 1020 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. Again, welcome to committee and go ahead, Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And we'll follow your guidance there. The first thing I'd like to do is just offer if I could get moved to put the bill in the fashion that I would like to see it. On line 17, delete workforce development and insert the word general. So this amendment changes the funding recommendation from workforce development to the general fund. So if that could be moved and adopted, that'd be great.
All right. Is there any question about that?
Madam Chair, I move that amendment for Representative Johnson.
All right. So it's been moved, and all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. That's been approved. All right.
Madam Chair, I'm going to move right into my testifiers here. I'm very excited to be here to talk about the St. Paul Youth Job Corps, and we have with us former council member Bill Wilson from the City of St. Paul, Luke Murphy, and also Amani to testify with us. I'm going to turn over to Bill Wilson first off.
Go ahead and state your name and go ahead with your testimony.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Bill Wilson. I'm the Executive Director of High Ground Academy Charter School. We've been in the business of charter schooling for about 8 years now. We figure by now we've gotten it right. Mm-hmm. We work with about 475 students, and we are a K-12 program. We also are a computer-based, technology-oriented school. And one of the things we do is put a lot of emphasis on training our students in technology. We were able to receive funding from St. Paul for the Youth Job Corps, and we trained our students in a variety of skills relating to technology, because as you know, technology drives the future. And we're in the business of serving children, youth. They're also 25% of the population. They're really 100% of our future. So what we invest in children today is going to pay off many times over in the future. I think I have with me Amani Mohammed to testify. She's an example of the students that we work with. 75% of our students are immigrant students, and they all graduate on time. As a matter of fact, 100% of our graduates have all been accepted in post-secondary educational institutions. So we think we've got it right. I think Mohammed's here to testify what she's done in the program for the past 2 years.
Excellent. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Mani Muhammad, and I'm a junior at Harrigan Academy Charter School. I've worked with St. Paul Cope for the past 2 years, including I assist students in summer school activities, training in corps and areas, and computer refurnishing. As a corps member, we learn how to disassemble and assemble computers and troubleshoot computer problems. We also assist in tributing donated computers to Harrigan Academy families so they can do their computer online at home. Presently, I and seven other students at Harrigan Academy are working part-time as student counselors, as student interns at Harrigan Academy, assistant parents and students with computer solutions. The families we have donated, 90% do not have computers. Nearly all of them request that we assist them with computers. As a part of our duties, we work on Saturdays and Sundays showing parents how and students how to set up computers and operate them. We also do online after-school math tutoring with elementary students because we believe tutoring in math helps to narrow down education gaps. Thank you.
Thank you. And the other testifier, please just identify yourself. And
good afternoon. My name is Ruth Murphy, and I'm the Executive Director of the Community Design Center of Minnesota. I have been for over 30 years, and I would like to talk about the youth job program and its enormous importance to the Community Design Center and the work that we do. We focus primarily on food, gardening, and ecology, and we, almost all of our youth, 99% are either immigrant, refugee, and or minority. And it is giving these young people an opportunity to learn about a variety of fields that traditionally they have not known much about. And we do this through two internships. One is in gardening and one is in conservation. Our conservation corps young people have been working building rain gardens. And for those that may not know what a rain garden is, it's an urban wetland. We've built 13 of them in the east side of St. Paul. And they also help to clean the Mississippi River through the depth of the plants. We are really trying to create an ecology awareness on the east side, which is a very low-income community primarily. And we are also have these young youth, most of whom have been Hmong, are working at the Bruce Central Nature Sanctuary, which is a major reclamation of a 27-acre brownfield. They have planted over 500 trees, thousands of wetland plants. They have removed enormous amount of buckthorn and burdock and all the invasives that happen to live there. And they are playing a major role with other environmental groups, which gives the Hmong young youth and their families an opportunity to be connected to a part of the community that is really very important, which is to raise the level of awareness of the need for environmental stewardship. The Hmong, as you know, were slash and burn farmers, and this whole arena is relatively new to them. And these youth have done this enormous amount of work to make an awareness within their own community of what it means to be an environmentally aware and steward of the community. We also have a food project, and that we have seven organic gardens on the east side of St. Paul. We grow 36 different types of vegetables. We have two farmers markets. We have a CSA, which is people buy shares in our garden. We have 29 families. Every week for 12 weeks, they pick up fresh produce. It's varied. We also have a variety of flowers and herbs and recipes. And they prepare all of this, and they actually they handle all of the business that we do. We make products. We sell the products. We make vinegars from our herbs. We make wreaths. We make Christmas decorations all in the form of vegetables. It's an entrepreneurial program. It's a program that really engages a segment of the population in the community, to the community. And some of the results of ours is that we have had directly two young people that have just been hired last summer by the National Park Service. They are preparing to hire another one of our youth. We have one of our youth that's now on the mayor's youth commission on second shift, and we have another young one, a woman that has been just hired by the Science Museum Youth Science Center. So we are seeing a huge result of the work that is happening with these young people, and without this particular program, it wouldn't happen. So I thank you for listening to me, and I hope that you will look favorably upon this.
Thank you, Ms. Murphy. And is there one other person to testify?
Yeah, but the city councilor member Helgen, and I think he's aware of the time crunch we have here, so I don't know if you want to say anything briefly.
Yes, a couple of things again. I'm Lee Helgen, St. Paul City Council member. Currently, the city commits $400,000 of city funds to the Youth Job Corps program. So what we're looking for is to expand this program. And the reason we see that is last year we had about 1,200 applicants for 300 jobs available. So there's just a huge demand there. The other thing is, if you're aware of the Mind the Gap report that the Brookings Institute had done, that talked about the disparity by race, place, and class. It talked about how in a few very targeted neighborhoods in Minneapolis and St. Paul, there's a huge disparity gap, and that we need to continue to work on the upgrading the skills. So out of our efforts, and why we think this is an important statewide effort, is to help get at that very disparity gap for the future. Again, we appreciate your consideration.
Thank you. And Representative Mahoney.
Just thank you, Madam Chair. And just to correct Ms. Murphy's testimony, the East Side does have a group of low-income families, but it's primarily working-class families that make a decent living and try to raise children and go to school and go to work, just like every other part of the city. It's not primarily low-income.
And Lower Bluff is. Representative Gunther. Do you have a comment?
My question.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Representative Johnson. Yes, Representative Mahoney renews this motion that House File 1020 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill, and we'll move on. Representative Mullery, you actually have two bills, and we're going to start with House File 47.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I hope this goes as well as yours did yesterday.
You can just go ahead when, actually we'll have,
as they're coming up,
Representative Reinert moves that House File 47 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. When your CA lined us up and gave us 7 minutes for each bill, I think he got mixed up on which side of the, abolishment of his job that I was on. I would like to correct, the chart that was handed out, I saw to all of the committee, and I'm not sure who prepared it, but it only shows like 3 or 4 years of funding this from the state, and in fact it was started by the chairman Rukavina's good friend Jim Rice back in 1995 with funding from the state. And he carried it and then until he quit, and then when I came over, I carried it, and actually I hate to say anything good about him, but Representative Gunther even carried it some years as the chief author. And what it is, it's a job for at-risk youth in Minneapolis. It provides job training skills, leadership development, and also academic instruction. They work 4 days a week. They're, I believe, evaluated every 2 weeks, and then they have a classroom part of it, and it's really helped a lot with these kids because there's a lot of at-risk kids involved. This is a program that the governor did veto, even though Representative Gunther got it in the bill. And when I talked to him a couple months ago, the governor said he wouldn't do that again. Now I hope we can rely on that. With us today is Linda Todd Paycheck, who runs the program, and I would like to let her make the presentation.
All right, Ms. Paycheck, if you'll just go ahead and state your name and begin your testimony.
My name is Linda Paycheck. I'm the project coordinator for the Minneapolis Park Board Teen Teamworks program. This program has been in effect for 21 years. We've got it going pretty good. Since 1995, we've partnered with the state getting funding, and this allowed us to get our educational component going. And so in our program, we provide the basics. We give them basic job skills training. We have adult mentors, caring adult mentors out there with them working every day, keeping them on the straight and narrow. We teach them to be responsible employees and stress to them the importance of a good work ethic and an education. As Representative Mulry said, they must attend a weekly educational component. We keep them up on their reading, math, and writing skills, and we also have them participate in life skills classes, and they are taught by certified public Minneapolis public teachers and youth outreach workers. And last summer we had, within the first 2.5 weeks that the applications went out, I was flooded with 1,200 applications. And after we reached 1,500, I actually had to call our referral agencies and ask them, you know, that we were filled up, and to, you know, kind of ask them to, you know, back off on the applications. Unfortunately, many of the youth who fill out these applications feel that they have a job because these programs have been around for a while, and they're actually, they're anticipating being a part of this program. I've been in this now for 12 years, and so I've been out in the parks, and I've actually had kids that were, you know, 7 years old, and they told me they couldn't wait till they were 14 and be a part of this program. Well, when they became 14, you know, the funding wasn't there to hire them, you know, and so I have them and their parents calling me, you know, now, as a matter of fact, you know, begging for the opportunity for them to be a part of this program because they understand how important it is to be involved in something during the summer. And, you know, with this program, the kids are able to work in a park near their home. There's no worry as far as, you know, how we're going to get there back and forth. They get assigned in parks close to their home so they can walk or ride a bike. And like I said, I think it's so important is that we have so many caring people involved in this program, and they really do make a difference, and it keeps these kids out of trouble. And if we can do that for one or two, and we've done our job. And I brought with us one of our past employees, Molly Etchison.
Go ahead. Yes, thank you.
Hi, my name is Molly Etchison. I'm 16 years old. I've been working in the teamwork program for 2 years. Without this job, I wouldn't have been able to work. There just aren't enough jobs for teens, and getting to job without a license or a car makes it even harder. This is a great job for teens. I can walk to my job. I can work. Or I work with really nice people who train you and help you if you have a problem. The other kids on the crew became my friends. I would have never met them if I didn't have this job. Going to the weekly classes helped me keep up with school. We need to have more jobs like this. I know so many other kids who get in trouble because they have nothing to look forward to or do during the summer. Please fund Earn to Learn. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Representative Mullery, the governor did, or workforce development funding is in the base now for Minneapolis Learn to Earn, isn't it, at $250?
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative, or Chair Rukavina, yes, it is, I believe.
And, ma'am, excuse me, I can't remember your name.
Gotcha.
Good Polish or Slovak name or something. Where does your other money come from in your budget?
The park board does put some money into the program, and then I also go out and, you know, contact some, get some public funds, but actually the funds from the state are the cornerstone of this program. Without it, you know, there's been years where we wouldn't be able to function. You know, the park board has its own budgetary problems, and there was a couple times where we were almost totally cut out of that budget, so it's very important.
And how many youths with the $250,000 of state money do you serve?
Last year, we were able to serve 285 youth.
Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Representative Reinert renews her motion that House File 47 be held over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Bill. And we'll go ahead with House File 743. Representative Mullery.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Once again, I'll have Representative Reinert to move that House File 743 be held over for possible inclusion in the Omnibus Bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Ray Waldron from the AFL was going to come, but then when I found out he'd only get about a minute, I'm just going to say that in the past, since he was the head of the building trades before and afterwards as the AFL president, he came over and testified on this bill when it was funded in the past. It hasn't been funded the last couple of bienniums. This is a bill that is one of the best ways to help low-income women and women get off of welfare that we've been able to find. It's a way to get them into good-paying, livable-wage jobs with very short training periods, whether it be into the building trades, whether it be into something like machinists, vocational or technical, anything into a non-traditional job. And just as an example of how this can change people's lives around, I have been at the YWCA in Minneapolis when they brought in inner-city youth, mostly African-American girls, from junior high, and watched them relate to, the first black woman electrician in Minnesota is named Edith Washington, and she has quite a story. She was heavily into drugs. Just her life had been destroyed. She was homeless. Her kids had been taken away. And she got back in the LEAP program under the Urban League, and she got into becoming an electrician. And she got everything straightened out, her kids back. She's got a nice suburban home. What was funny was I was talking to the woman at the YWCA that ran it, and I think she said she had a master's and was working on her doctorate or something like that. And the kids asked Edith what she made, and afterwards when we were out in the hall, the person that ran the downtown YWCA says, wow, she makes more than I do, and she's only been an electrician for 5 years. So that shows how you can change people's lives around with this kind of training. In the past, we've had this funded, and there was really outstanding results from the metro area programs. It was more spotty results, some good and some were questionable in the more rural areas of Minnesota. But we hope that we can get money to, again, do this program, because we have so many people in Minnesota that are women that could qualify and actually be getting off of, in the long run, if we get them, you know, paying taxes, they'd be off of the general assistance or even having to be low-income people. And this is a great way to do it. In the past, we had, back when Aviva Breen was head of the Council on the Economic Status of Women, she testified in behalf of it.
Actually, today, do you have a testifier on behalf of the office behind you sitting, perhaps?
Okay. Madam Chair, there was a mixed. I had been told that the office was
we can go ahead
that
now
they couldn't
all right.
testify on behalf of a bill.
Well. I'll just make a few notes. My name is Andrea Lindgren, and I'm with the Office on the Economic Status of Women in the LCC. And I provided just some tables about women working in the trades. And I'll just make, in the interest of time, make a couple comments. First, I just wanted to point out that women account for just under half of all the of the workforce in Minnesota, but only 10% of people that work in the trades. And most of the occupations there, less than 5%. And women in Minnesota, as you probably know, account for about 56% of students in the higher ed programs in Minnesota, but less than 5% of students in these programs. So if there's any questions about the information I've provided, feel free to ask.
Thank you. Does anyone have questions?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
To represent Mahoney, maybe, Mueller, excuse me, and Mahoney, if you were here, too. Do the building trades in the past, when this program was funded, did they participate fully in cooperation with, would this program originate out of where, and did the building trades cooperate with this?
Madam Chair and Mr. Chairman, the building trades obviously cooperated. They didn't run the program, but they were very much involved. And as I said, Ray Waldron, when I put this program together when I first came here, and he was head of the building trades at that time and came and spoke on behalf of this program, and he encouraged them all to participate in it. And it's not just the, I want to make sure it's not just the building trades, it's a lot of other things. I have a friend who is the only, she's the only blind machinist in Minnesota. So, and until she became a machinist, she didn't really have a real job. So there's a lot of things that people can get into in this that will help them.
Thank you. Any other questions? Representative Clark?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Mulley, do we have an appropriation number there yet?
No, we haven't yet.
Oh, okay.
Representative Clark.
All right. No other questions? Representative Reinert renews her motion that...
Madam Chair, if
yes,
that's right.
Representative Rukavina.
You know, in looking at your bill, Representative Mullery, your grants go from deed to nonprofit organizations?
Yes, Mr.
Can they also
Madam
go,
Chair, Mr. Chairman.
Can they also go, or would it be appropriate for them also to possibly go to... like say the laborers or the carpenters or whatever, if they promise to get more women involved in them in their program.
Representative Mullery,
Chair, Mr. Chairman, I think I could work with you on that. I don't know just exactly. In the past, they didn't exactly want to get the money to them. But we can work on that.
I was just curious.
I have no problem with that. If they do the services, part of them, they have trouble getting the outreach into the community that they need. But as far as the training part of it, as if you notice, there's a the nonprofit is usually the one that does the coordination and getting them involved, and then works with a trainer. They don't usually do the training themselves. That was not in the past. But there was I think that was part of the problem in at least one of the programs in rural Minnesota, was that it was somebody who took them and just put them into their own system, and we didn't know if they got the real training that would sustain them.
Actually,
on very livable wage.
Just to that point, Representative Rukavina, one of the jobs I had probably about 15 years ago was at the Technical College as an equity coordinator. And the job was to encourage women to go into non-traditional careers. That was something that was cut a number of years ago. And so we then stopped doing that kind of really true kind of invasive kind of work in order to try and educate women. And it was very successful in the rural area in my community. Representative Clark?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mulley, can you just remind me the history of where we are with this? Is there an existing program right now? It's gone. But how long did we actually have it?
Madam Chair, Representative Clark, it only got funded for a two-year period. And it was when Representative Goodnow was chair of Health and Human Services, and he funded it. And those funds were shifted back to this committee, is my understanding, 4 years ago, I believe it was.
All right. Representative Rukavina. Okay. Representative Reinert renews her motion that House File 743 be held over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill. And Representative Moe will move the minutes from the most recent meeting. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. Motion passes and meeting adjourned.